Today's title is The Wise Men. I don't know if you can you see the three little wise men in the picture? Yeah, good, good, good. Because Casey worked really hard to make those little wise men, you know, make sure that they were viewable. Today's title of the sermon is The Wise Men Took Action. And you have your notes with you, and I always encourage you to write at least one thought down in your notes. And take it with you, pray about it. If God speaks to you about something, write it down. Last week, Michelle mentioned how the story of Christmas really began in Genesis. And I really, you know, when she said that, it kind of just like, yeah, that's, I didn't think of it. I never thought of it that way. But it's so true. It began in Genesis. And I like that perspective because it's true. And God has always loved his creation. And even when Adam and Eve sinned against God, it was God's love that put the Christmas plan into place, right? So here you have Adam and Eve in paradise, and they sinned because they were deceived by Satan. And when they ate of the fruit, when God told them specifically not to eat of the fruit, they sinned. And God already put the wheels in motion about a plan that was going to redeem mankind. And Jesus was that plan. So it is true that the Christmas story really has its roots in Genesis. So I really like that. I just thought that was so interesting to look at it that way, but it's true. And the reason why it started in Genesis was because of God's love, right? God wasn't just going to be, well, they sinned, I give up on them. Because if that was God's heart, we'd all be dead, right? God's heart is not, you know, sometimes people have this image that God is standing over you waiting for you to sin so he can just smack you one, right? That's not God, because if that was the case, There would be no Christmas story, right? He would be like, forget it. So we know that's not his heart. That's not his character. The Bible in the New Testament says it is God's will that all find him, right? Come to repentance, that find Jesus. So it is God's character, love. He loves us. And the Christmas plan is best stated in that famous scripture you see in football stadiums, right? Look, the plan is John 3:16. So why did God have this plan? Because he loves us. It all goes back to God's love. Excuse me. It's God's love for us. You know, when you start getting your mind wrapped around this concept, how much God loves us, how much he has patience with us, how much he forgives us and has mercy. When you start wrapping your mind and your heart around how much God loves us, you start, it's just an honor to be able to work for his kingdom, right? When you really start wrapping your mind around how much he loves us, how he never gives up on us, how, yes, he will leave the 99 to find the one. Yes, he will because he loves us. So the Christmas story is really all about love. And you can repeat it after me. Let's say it together, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Amen. That is the Christmas story, and it's all wrapped around love. The Christmas spirit is all about God's love for mankind. God's love for you and me. Once we truly embrace or receive God's love, then we become passionate to work for his kingdom because he is worthy to be praised and honored. Amen? And I want to say that sentence again. Once we truly embrace and receive God's love, His forgiveness, His redemption. When you really just say, Lord, I receive it, I believe it, I accept your love, then we become passionate to work for His kingdom. That's the way it works. So if you look at it the other way around, unwind that. And if you're wondering, do I have passion to do things for His kingdom? To use my gifts, my talents, my abilities, is it there? And if you're struggling this morning and you're saying, I don't have that joy right now, and it happens to all of us, even pastors, then you need to rewind and come back and just go back to, yes, I receive your love. Yes, I receive your forgiveness. Yes, I receive your agape love for me. Because when you embrace that, receive that, you want to work for His kingdom. So sometimes we got to step back. And a long time ago, I preached a sermon, The Simplicity of the Gospel. And that is so true in my life. Whenever I start getting confused and frustrated and I don't feel it, the joy of the Lord, I need to just go back to the simplicity of getting on my knees and saying, Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. Lord, I receive your love. That's a nice place to be. And I have to do that from time to time. And I encourage you, whenever you're getting in those moments when you don't have the joy and the peace, just no matter how hard it is, the hardest time to get on your knees with nobody watching and just say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm confused. Lord, I'm frustrated. I just need your love and your peace. Just, it's the hardest thing to do at that point in time because you just don't want to face it. But that is what we need to do. Go back to the simplicity of the cross, the simplicity of prayer, the simplicity of just being available to listen, to be in His presence. And so, when we truly receive His love, when we truly receive what He's done for us, you will want to work for His kingdom. You will want to do things for His kingdom, right? And that's the way service works. And then we know the Bible says, once you want to do things for His kingdom, which is ministry, remember I said this a while back, ministry is not being a pastor. Ministry is serving others, right? Serving the kingdom. So a lot of times you may hear someone say, come to this ministry training, and you're like, oh, I don't want to be a pastor. No, it means service, right? It means being able to serve. So the Bible says that when you, so if you put this all together, it's embrace God's love. You have passion to work for His kingdom in service. And then Jesus says, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you are the servant of all. You serve people. And see, it all kind of works together. Amen. Amen. And it begins with love. If you didn't love God, you would not bother to do anything for His kingdom. So love. The main point I want to bring out about the wise men today is this. The wise men understood God's kingdom plan, and they took action to back up what they believed. So the wise men understood the plan through the stars and what they understood. There must have been some prophetic words about the stars that we don't see in this book specifically, but they knew the stars were supposed to be a certain way, a line, whatever it was. Or was it bright? Who knows, right? But obviously they were following the stars. And they knew it was time. It was time for the Messiah. It was time for Jesus. It was time for the Messiah to be born. So they knew it. Not only did they know it, but they acted upon it. And that's the main point. As Christians, we must take action on what we believe. Amen? The wise men took action. Let's read the story. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came a wise man from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of all the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." We do have that in the Old Testament, where the Bible says that Jesus, the Messiah, the Lion of Judah, would be born in Bethlehem. So they were following that prophecy. "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among you, the prince of Judea, of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search for this young child. And when you have found him, bring me word, and I may worship him also." Well, I don't know about that. Herod's lying, huh? "And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down, and they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." So the wise men knew Jesus was to be worshipped. The wise men, they studied the stars. They understood that the stars were aligned in such a way that was prophesied that the King of the Jews would be born this way at this time. And Herod, in verse 5, gathered the wise men and the chief priests to ask them about this prophecy, and they quoted him the Old Testament scriptures that prophesied the birth of the Messiah to Bethlehem. So, of course, Herod was threatened, and he told the wise men to let them know when they found him so that he could do harm to the child. But the wise men had a dream, and they were warned, "Don't go back to Herod." So the wise men they took a big risk, right? Herod could have hunted them down. But the wise men were wise, and they weren't going to operate by man's laws. They were operating by God's laws, by God's plan. And the wise men rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The wise men, when they got to Jesus, they worshipped him. They gave him gifts, the most expensive, the best kind of gifts, the gifts that you would give a king. Can you imagine? You're in a manger and all these precious gifts. It probably stunk in there and not the best of situations. But here come the wise men as if they were presenting to a king. That must have been an odd sight, but it had meaning. It had purpose. Because it wasn't about the manger. It wasn't about that it looked like, I mean, that's where the poorest of the poor, that's the situation a person would be in that was lowly, so to speak, right? And that's how God chose to bring Jesus into the world. But even in that setting, can you just picture this? Here comes wise men with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, expensive stuff, presenting in that scenery. But it kind of makes sense with God's character, doesn't it? He'll use whatever, us, we're like the manger. And uses us in a way in his kingdom as if we deserve to be honored. And we know we don't, but yet when you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he lifts you up. Right? That's what the New Testament says. So it kind of fits to how God looks at things. God doesn't see what we see with our eyes. God sees the purpose, the calling in our lives, the importance, the anointing. God sees all of that. Same thing happened to David, right? He was the child that the father didn't even bring to the lineup. And what happened? That's exactly who God chose, the most humble, the most lowly of the sons, to be king of Israel. So it kind of all makes sense how God seems to operate, right? Zacchaeus, the worst of the cheaters. Jesus goes to his house and says, because you're doing this, you're going to give all your money back, you're repenting, then salvation is yours. Now he's now going to be up there in heaven within the kingdom of God. The lowliest cheater, the worst. You see, God's in the business of turning our messed up lives into something powerful. Amen. Do you believe that? You may think, I don't know. I don't seem to be making too much difference in this world. Then you're missing it. You're missing it. When you're wrapped up in your own agenda and your own desire and your own wants, you won't see it. You won't see it. But when you are able to die to those things, say, I know what I want, Lord. I know what my desires are. And sometimes maybe they line up with your will. Sometimes they don't. But okay, I'm going to go ahead and surrender all my desires, my plans. Let's see what you have. When you enter there, you will find greatness. You will find your calling to be great. Amen. You will. But you got to be willing to step out of the boat. You got to be willing to serve the kingdom. You got to be willing to die to your own plans and agenda. And say, Lord, it's not about me. One of the things I like to tell my leaders from time to time, pastors and leaders, is, you know, when you're having a bad day, bad week, with a few exceptions, like, you know, death in the family, you know, things like that, where you just need to take a little break, that's understandable. You come into service or you come into a situation where you got to lead. If you want to bring all that stuff that you're having a bad week with you, you're going to take everybody down with you. Amen? As leaders, and it can't be fake either. As leaders, the joy of the Lord is your strength no matter the circumstance. Amen. And it's got to be real. When you become a pastor and the PKs and the leaders, you know, the preacher's kids have it the worst, right? They like, yeah. I always have to look like everything's all right. And the PKs, they're the worst sinners of them all, right, Junior? But you have to put up this front that our family is perfect. All are this, are that. When it's fake, it's just not going to be impactful to the kingdom. But when it's real, what I mean by real is that, yeah, we all have problems. But you know what? Right now, this moment, this time, I'm going to lead you to honoring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That takes something, doesn't it? Maybe some of you are thinking, I want to be a leader, or I want to serve in leadership. Or you gotta be able to do that. You gotta be able to not carry all your baggage with you, and it's time to honor God. It's time to lead. It's time to surrender and lead people. You got to be the most happiest person in the room. That's what I keep telling, you know, Joseph, Michelle, Loy, Alyssa. We can't carry all the stuff that's bothering us, the pity party. But it's got to be real. You can't be fake about it either. It's got to be real. And how is it real? The joy of the Lord is my strength. He will take care of those things I'm worried about. He'll take care of them. He'll take care of them. I got to just trust him. And now it's time for me to lead you to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. And on that note, you know, I've been talking to the pastors. And next year, the last Sunday of every month at night, we're going to start some service ministry leadership workshops. And I'm excited about it. And I really want to encourage a lot of you to attend those. It'll be more, not like a sermon thing, more of an informal workshop setting. But I'll give you more information on that. But I wasn't planning to say that today, but it's just kind of leading in. So, but I think it's important that we know how to lead people into honoring and serving and worshiping the Lord, no matter what's going on in our lives. Because if every leader took what was going on, the troubles in their lives, we would have nobody leading, because everybody has problems. Amen? So that's important. So the wise men, they worshiped the baby. They brought the best of the best. They presented the gifts. They presented the gifts worthy of a king, because they knew Jesus was no ordinary baby. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. In Philippians 2:10, if you don't have this one underlined in your Bible, you should. Or you can underline it. The name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and the things on earth and things under the earth. We're all going to bow to his name. I'd rather be on his team. Amen. So Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. At the very beginning of the story, the wise men took action. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. You know, the wise men really believed, because they had to load the camels, right? You remember they had camels in those days? They had to load for travel. They had to do a lot, prepare the food for the travel. And back then, they didn't have airplanes, cars. It was like going across the desert. They risked their lives from robbers. Remember, they had gold. They were carrying gold. So they had to risk a lot. They had to do a lot to make this journey. So they must have really, 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 really believed. It wasn't just like, maybe. No, they believed. They believed that they were willing to prepare for the journey, take the long journey, and risk their lives. They believed. Think about it. If Jesus wasn't the Messiah and the King of Kings, they wasted their time. They risked it for nothing. But they really believed. They really believed. And because they really believed, they took the actions. So, we say we believe. We really believe. Are we taking the action? You know, that's the message. The wise men took action. Here we are. We really believe. Are we taking action? There's different levels of the taking action. Like, for example, you're here this morning, so you took an action. To get out of bed, to get ready. The children were nagging you again on Sunday morning like they always do, right? But you took the action. So that's one way, right? Some people didn't make it this morning. We need to pray for them, right? That reminds me, next week is our Christmas service, so you want to invite your friends who don't have a place to go, to church to go. You want to invite your relatives who don't have a place to go. Invite anybody that you can invite that is not going to be on a Christmas service so they can be with, at least with you or be in one. So invite whoever you can next week for a Christmas service. But you took an action and you're here. But there's other things that you know you need to take action on if you really believe. Right? And one of the things that this church has always said for the last 25 years, and this church has always taught the people, not to come to Sunday morning and listen to the pastor and use that as their guide to life. Not, it's about you. Pastor Green used to call them the four principles. It's about you taking action and reading your Bible. It's real basic. Taking action and praying. Taking action in being in church. Taking action in giving. Those were the four principles. When you are doing those with passion, knowing that it is who you are as a Christian, then you're taking those actions and you have a solid foundation. And you do it, why? Because you believe. You should never do it because the pastor's tells you to do it. You should do it because you believe it's from the Lord. Amen? And the wise men took action. So I encourage you this morning, take action. That could mean different things to different people. Take action that shows that you believe. Take action that shows that you believe. Because the wise men took action. So pastor's thoughts in closing. Every one of us has a decision to make in our life. Do we believe Jesus is to be worshipped? If the answer is yes, then it's time for God's people, for Christians to worship Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, with exceeding great joy. It's time to be like the wise men. Take action. Bring the Lord some gifts, your gift of time, of reading your Bible, praying, being in church, giving. Take action. Bring gifts to the Lord like the wise men brought gifts. And He will move mountains for you. You will be blessed. And don't just do this because it's Christmas time, but as part of your daily lives. God is pursuing you this morning. How will you respond to His unconditional love? Once you have made the decision that Jesus is the only way, and He is worthy to be worshipped, then as God pursues you and forgives you of sin, you will want to go on this journey. You will want to work in the kingdom. You will want to take action like the wise men did. Never in there that it says that the wise men ever doubted, ever struggled. They took the risk, they took the action, and when they got there, they presented their gifts, and they did their job. It's time for us to do our job as believers in Christ. So don't just believe. Take actions that show you have received His love. So Christmas is coming up. And this Christmas story, as I started with at the beginning, is all about God's love. God's love for us. Not just a one-time experience, but a life-changing experience where we need to respond to God's great love for us. It doesn't matter how many times you've let God down. Doesn't matter how many times you may have turned your back, or as the word they use, that you backslid or you struggled with God. It doesn't matter. What matters is, are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to take the action? Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to answer the call for His kingdom? The wise men did it. They did it. Let's close our eyes, bow our hands. Heavenly Father, we know this Christmas season is all about Your love. You made it clear in John 3:16 that the reason You sent Jesus was because You love the world. And Lord, as we leave this place today, my heart, my prayer is that we leave with a desire and a passion to take action, Lord, like the wise men did, to take action for the journey, to take our gold and our myrrh, frankincense, to take the best of the best, to give them our best in service. It could be little things like the toy giveaway, or it could be other things, helping our neighbor, praying for somebody. But Lord, here we are. We want to take action for your kingdom. So seal this in our hearts today. We want to be like the wise men. That involves taking a risk. Stepping out of the boat where it's uncomfortable and trusting Jesus to keep us above water. Trusting Jesus to give us a safe trip. Trusting Jesus to meet our needs, to take care of our children. Trusting Jesus, who is interceding on our behalf. Trusting Him to make a way where there seems to be no way. Trusting Him for the miracle that we need. Trusting Him for good health. Trusting Him for all our problems, for the loneliness in our heart. Trusting Him to fulfill our emptiness. Trusting Him to bring joy unspeakable where there is despair. Lord, we're going to take action. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give Him a clap offering. Amen.